Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
Appreciate you letting the beat drop right there.
No problem. I was waiting for the lyrics to come up. I'm like, no, we don't play the lyrics. We just play music here. Florida AD, that is the Gators, by the way, Scott Strickland released a statement yesterday announcing that head football coach Billy Napier will continue as Florida's head coach. And among the reasons he cited was kind of the landscape that we're in with college football. So they wanted some stability.
Yeah.
And they feel like they have that with Napier.
I think they do. And before I let our resident Florida fan weigh in on this, because I know he's okay with it, I think, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. This is a different time, right? The when you talk about money being paid out, I think his buyout's $26 million, Bo, but you can weigh in on this as well. I saw a figure that's about the whole staff actually gets up to like 40, right? Some of the staff members he's got have huge buyouts as well. And so when you look at that in terms of NIL money being passed around to some of the younger players on this team, you dry up at a certain point. You can't afford $40 million and then to go pay another guy, $8 million a year or whatever it might be. So I think it's a good move by Scott Strickland. I know that some Gators fans probably don't like it, but in this landscape of college football and all the things that Billy Napier has dealt with and for his team to still be playing hard, I think this is the right move.
Yeah. It's why Mike Norvell is in his $67 or $76 million buyout, whichever one it is going to be at Florida State for a couple more years, whether Florida State fans like it or not. It's part of it now. I love the point that you make about how it's drying up, but do you also look at where the Florida NIL money is spent? It's a predominant amount spent between freshmen and sophomores. If you're a Florida fan right now, or a guy saying, or a person saying, I should say, yeah, I'm glad they kept Napier, or I hate the fact that they kept Napier. Remember, I wholeheartedly agree, and I've thought it since day one, DJ Lagway is directly tied. His future is directly tied with Billy Napier.
Yeah.
If Billy Napier is not at that program, DJ Lagway will not be at the Florida's program. Not that he'll be where Napier is, but he'll be somewhere else. Yeah. His dad was very ecstatic about it. But only that, just look at the on-field product, which was a terrible start this season, has progressively gotten better. Young players have stepped up. DJ, Jaden, I think it's Jaden, Ball. Younger players on defense. It's okay to say, you know what, we'll give it a fourth year. We'll see what we're going to do. The buyout, as you mentioned, goes down. But tell me right now, who's the head coach? If you are a Florida fan, I want him gone. Who's the guy?
Yeah.
Who's your guy out there? Because that's the other thing you got to look at. There's no name that just says, man, there's no Kirby Smart or Nick Saban or whoever you would say that was the guy when those teams had their openings. Those guys aren't out there.
Yeah, it's tough.
Speaking of the stability factor when it comes to college football coaches, they can now add some more guys under scholarship to their rosters. So schools can offer up to 85 full-ride scholarships. So it's the NCAA increasing that. This is for FBS schools, for Division I FBS.
Yeah, and I think it's pretty much status quo, and I think the reason that you see this ruling come down right now is because there has been talk amongst, because of some of the legislation coming down on the NCAA, that would no longer be a thing. Like you might see this become illegal to have scholarship limits in the future, which would do away with walk-ons, because you would essentially have 150 scholarships if you wanted to, right? However many you can hold. The fact the SEC has come out and said next year that they're going to kind of, you know, keep this cap at 85, and they're going to still, you know, continue to go with walk-ons until this legislation comes down, I think it's a big deal. I wish that it was something they were allowed to do long-term. I don't know, because of legislation, they'll be allowed to keep the number at 85 long-term. But for right now, I'm glad that you will still see the walk-ons of the world, you know, be able to be part of some of these programs. I think it makes a lot of sense, at least for next season.
That, and I wonder how a scholarship limit in a sport like football affects other sports.
Yeah.
Because you got to remember, colleges are businesses and they have to make money in football. If so much money from the scholarships is going towards just one sport, what happens? Because we forget how much money football funds other sports, including Title IX sports.
I think baseball, when I was in school, had 13.
Yeah.
13 yeah. for the baseball team.
And where does their equipment come from?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the schools that don't make money have to have other sports, like a football, that helps them. And we are getting it's getting completely lost, and we're forgetting all this. And we need to remember it very quickly. Hopefully the people making decisions and laws remember that.
Yeah, I agree. I just think that the biggest thing for me, the takeaway, is that the walk-ons in the SEC at least survive for one more season. Hopefully they find a way to make that still a thing in the future.
Gosh, you guys sound like you're making a whole lot of sense right now.
Yeah.
Don't know if that will be the case on Monday after we find out your picks for this weekend's games.
Would you like me to step up to the plate first, Mr. Morgan? Would you like me to go there? Because I'm feeling good about this one.
By all means, proceed.
The mandatory NFL game of the week is going to be Steelers at Commanders. The Commanders are a 2.5-point favorite at home. The over-under that game is 44.5, but we're not going to pick that, even though Bo likes to break the rules every now and then.
I broke it once.
I like the Commanders in this one. Jaden Daniels just playing at another level right now. The Steelers, even though there's been a slight uptick with that offense and Russell Wilson, some of the moves they've made, Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, runaway freight train right now. Give me Washington at home minus 2.5 points.
I love Jaden Daniels coming out of the draft. He was my favorite quarterback out of the draft. Dan Quinn is my favorite former Falcons fired. Well, him and Mike Smith are 1A and 1B. However, this is the best defensive pass rush in the league. This might be the best defense in the league. Mm. They need this game badly. I'll take that 2.5 points. Jaden Daniels has not seen T.J. Watt yet in his career.
There you go. The NFL game that I'm picking up off the street, let me go out to Phoenix, Arizona, or Glendale, if you will. Guys, the Jets aren't very good. Arizona has won 3 in a row. And when you look at Kyler Murray's career, a couple of weeks ago we talked about it as the first time in Kyler Murray's career he's won back-to-back games. Now he's won 3 in a row. You would think Arizona should be favored in this game, but they're not. The Jets are favored by 1.5 on the road in Glendale this weekend. Give me Aaron Rodgers and those Jets with some of the recent additions and subtractions they've made. The Jets start to get things pointed in the right direction. They finally get the coaching bump, and the Jets minus the 1.5 in Phoenix this weekend. Take it to the bank.
All right, in a battle of 2-7 powerhouses, the New York Football Giants coming to Charlotte. The over-under is 40.5. Both these teams have went over that in previous games as far as combined scores. Their offenses, they've got embattled quarterbacks who are, Bryce Young's back in there. Daniel Jones ran over a defender at the goal line last week.
Yeah.
They're starting to feel themselves. Yeah. Give me that. Give me the over, baby.
Yeah.
I'll take that over. The game's actually in Munich in Germany.
Oh, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's at Carolina on my sheet. That's the way I wrote it, Tiffany. But thank you. It'll be at 9:30.
Already wrong.
So you can
already
watch
wrong.
It solo.
Yeah, already wrong. I am not happy with Dylan about this, Tiff, because there's one thing you don't do is gamble with your heart. But the Alabama at LSU game is our mandatory college pick. I'm not a fan of it, and I know that Bo's brewing up with something over there right now. I'm not a fan of what's going on. I don't want to have to pick this game because I had to pick my heart.
All right,
and
Mike,
you guys know I'm not going to get on here and pick LSU plus the points. It's not going to happen.
You said, all right, Michael, Dylan.
Yeah, what's going on? What do you need?
What? I mean, I just said sorry.
Oh, you said sorry.
He just apologized. Yeah. Y'all leave him alone. Look,
I'm sorry I put you in a spot like that.
He was
like,
well, you know that I'm going to go.
I looked up and I just see Mike Johnson staring at me. Yeah, I just see a big offensive lineman looking at me.
Alabama opened as an underdog in this game because it opened 2 weeks ago because they both had bye weeks. So Alabama opened as an underdog in this game. They are now 2.5-point favorites. Dude, you know I'm not going to take LSU in this game. Get out of here. It's a Southern Louisiana hate week in my house. We don't like them. Bama. Minus the points all day.
This game's not played in Tuscaloosa, is it?
Oh, gosh. I feel a sermon coming on.
It's a night game, isn't it?
I feel a sermon coming on. Don't you dare play that.
In one Death Valley, Bo Morgan.
I mean, imagine if it was played in Talladega.
Dega, baby.
But it's not. It's played in Baton Rouge, where those Bayou Bengals roam. Give me the Bayou Bengals. And I'll take those 2.5 points. I love 2.5 points this weekend. Yeah. I'll take it all day long.
Yeah, of course you will. Of course you will. Can't wait to just rub that one in your face. All right, and then my last college pick, Missouri is a 3.5-point dog against Oklahoma this weekend. There's been some questions as to whether or not Brady Cook can play. He's exited the last two games they've played with injury. They had a bye week last week. Look, it is what it is. This game points to the fact that I should be taking Oklahoma. They're not a better team. They've got 5 wins on the year. I think Brady Cook plays the entire time. And when Brady Cook plays for Missouri, they're pretty good. I like Brady Cook plus the 3 against Oklahoma this weekend. Take it to the bank.
Oh, wow. Well, hopefully he doesn't go to the hospital in the middle of this game.
What?
That happened, Tiff. And yeah. He came back and let it come back.
I hate the Saints worse than any team in football. But number 2 might be Florida State. They're going to South Bend, Indiana, unless that game's in Germany too, Tiffany.
It's not.
Okay, thank you.
Domestic.
Touchdown Jesus all day long. The over-under is only 42.5. Hell, Notre Dame might drop 45 on that garbage team. Give me the Catholics and give me the over 42.5. I think they're going
to
roll. I love
there
it. Over.
And make sure your bookie calls Squid instead of you when you owe money.
Those are the picks. You can tune in on Monday to laugh at them, depending on how the weekend turns out for these guys. All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, we have former Atlanta Falcons QB and now analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the show this hour, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer in your home today and start packing. We'll be right back here.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back in the morning shift, going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, Dave Archer, joining us here on the show. I'm never here on a Friday, Dave, so I've not talked to you twice in a week before.
I apologize for that, Tiff. You have to talk to me twice.
Don't you apologize. Bo should apologize for me having to interact with him on a daily basis.
Yeah. Well, good to hear your voice.
It's good to talk to you, too.
I mean, I'm just sitting here, and I'm catching strays. Look, I think we all know that the game plan offensively for New Orleans on Sunday is going to begin and end with Alvin Kamara. Do you say we're going to load up and try to stop him and make everyone else beat us? Or do you think it's a better mindset to say, you know what, we're going to let you get yours from 20 to 20, and then we're going to shut you down there and make everyone else beat us?
Well, I think that's conventional wisdom would say, hey, you gotta try to take away their best players. I was just looking at my notes here. You know, we've got two guys in Alvin Kamara, who has averaged in 14 games against the Falcons, has averaged 5.3 yards a touch. That's accounting his receptions and rushing. He's got just over 1,300 yards, combined yards, against Atlanta. The other guy that's nails on a chalkboard to me is Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill has 6.3 yards per touch. So to think that you can still eliminate Alvin Kamara and your headache goes away, I don't think that's the case. And I think that obviously the wide receiver core is depleted. Rashid Shaheed gone. Chris Olave probably won't play. So they've got a couple of young guys. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, a guy they picked up who's made big plays in big games, albeit a Kansas City Chief. Is a guy you're going to have to take into consideration, and their tight ends are decent players. But you know, Derek Carr's played well against Atlanta as well. You go back to the five games he's played, he's completed about 72% of his passes. So I think it's easy to say that, hey, Kamara's the guy, and sometimes that's easier said than done to say you're going to stop him. But don't forget about Taysom Hill, and don't underestimate some of these other receivers. I think that if anybody estimated receivers, maybe Kansas City did against the Bucs the other day, and that might have almost cost them the football game.
Yeah, Cade Otton, a nice night against them. And Dave, that kind of leads me to my next question. What do you want to see from the Falcons this weekend? Because I think anybody, and I actually got flack on the postgame show, because I said last time when they beat the Saints, I almost sounded kind of downtrodden on the postgame show. It's like, you know, you get the special teams touchdown, the Troy Anderson touchdown, the offense really didn't do anything, and that led me to have more questions about the future. But again, you got the win. So let's just say, obviously, we want to see the win in any way possible, but what would you like to see kind of jump up for the Atlanta Falcons, you know, this weekend in this matchup?
Well, I would agree with you, Mike. I thought that was a smoke and mirrors win back in, week four. I don't know how you look back on it now, you pulled it off with a non-offensive touchdown. You find a way to kick a long field goal to win the game at the end. I'd like to see some polish from start to finish. I think we got a little bit of that defensively last weekend, except for the opening drive and the end of the game drive. I thought you saw that from the defense. Well, that defense played pretty solidly after the opening drive and in the final drive. The offense is had moments where you're really excited about it, and then it bogs down. I would like to see some polish from start to finish, just, you know, a consistent game where they move the football. They get first downs. They put themselves in scoring position. They threaten every time they touch the football, at least a good number of the times they touch the football, and put the pressure on a team that, like Bo's talking about, where are they going to go to get offense? You know, they still make some plays on the defensive side of the football, but obviously by the trading of Marshon Lattimore, you know, they're kind of offloading some people in their mind too. So make them feel that, you know, and so go play a high-quality game for 60 minutes and just kind of step away from a team that shouldn't be on the field with you.
We've got Dave Archer, former Atlanta Falcons QB and analyst for the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, joining us here on the morning shift. Arch, so the Falcons will get back Troy Anderson, who's been missing for, I think it's been the last month or something. Yeah. So what will that do for the Falcons in terms of maybe freeing some things up for guys when it comes to the pass rush?
Well, certainly getting him back. The last time he was on the field for a full game, he had 17 tackles and an interception return for a touchdown against this Saint team. So pretty good feelings to have Troy back out on the field. You know, you're a little bit beat up in some areas along the defensive front. Where are you going to get pass rush? Does that allow you to move Caden Ellis a little bit? I know there's been some speculation to moving him around. I really haven't seen him play the edge much. I thought, Mike, you and I talked about this, that maybe – and I know Bo's mentioned this a little bit, that maybe Caden Ellis, you know, you could move him outside. He's not very big from a stand up against the run game on the edge. He's kind of a run, you know, and seek guy as opposed to take on guys physically. So I haven't seen him do it. So I just when you think, okay, well, this frees him up to allow Landman and Anderson to play inside, and now you can move Ellis all over the place. They haven't really done that, and I don't think that at this point in the season, you know, there's probably a few nuances that Jimmy Lake's going to throw out there, but I don't think they're going to change their stripes as to how they play. So that may not be in the offing, but certainly getting Anderson, he's a run-and-hit, seek-and-destroy linebacker. He's a big guy that can take on blocks. I think it would help you against the run game. We're maybe a little bit light in linebacker when Caden's all by himself on the inside. So I think that helps you there. And he's certainly a big-time athlete. It'd be interesting to see how much they use him on special teams because he's a major contributor on special teams as well.
Yeah, and I want to talk – let's go a little bit more in-depth about Troy Anderson and Caden Ellis and the linebackers because I think – Arch, and you might agree or disagree with this, but a lot of times when you lose the amount of receivers that you have with the Saints right now, and then you start looking at who can you turn to, and you mentioned a little bit with Tampa Bay last week, you start talking about Taysom Hill. You already brought him up. You also have Foster Moreau, Juwan Johnson. Those are guys who do know the offense. And so I think when you look at, Justin Simmons and some of the other pieces of guys that will cover big-time players, Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, I think the mid-skill guys play an important role in controlling this offense this week.
Yeah, I think that's all fair to say. Interesting, Mike, with the change in coaches, does this present one of those scenarios where maybe Kubiak changes their approach a little bit offensively? I don't think they can get more expansive offensively. It's almost like they take away stuff and become – okay, we're going to come off the ball and beat you up physically. Can they do that? You know, and are they capable of doing that? So there's a little bit of an unknown there as far as what they'll do defensively. I think that they'll stay pretty similar to what they've been. But as far as what you're talking about, as far as those second level guys and the versatility they bring to the table, I think they'll adjust to whatever New Orleans tries to do. But I'm interested in seeing what Kubiak comes up with to try to make some plays because when you look on their side, there's just not guys that stand out that are explosive players. This offense, and it reflects, Mike, in what they've done. Their first four games, we know they were 2-2 coming out of the box. They're converting 53% of the time on third down. Their last five games, they're converting 28% of the time. It's even been worse than that the last 2 weeks, where they've struggled even more further down than that. So they're trying to find guys to make plays, and they're just not coming up with the answer. So maybe that plays in Atlanta's hands.
Arch, I know a guy that was under a lot of heat, it felt like, in the offseason with this offense seemingly going to go back to a pass-heavy attack more than it has been in the past. And even you, I think you had talked about during the offseason, you thought they'd throw the ball maybe 5 to 7 more times, was Caleb McGarry. A lot of people didn't think that he could hold up in a pass-heavy attack. I think he's probably had maybe his best season as a pro. Have you seen the same, or am I just overreacting?
No, I think Caleb has done a good job. I think that they've done some things to keep him from being exposed from time to time. You've got a quarterback that understands when he should hold onto the ball, when he shouldn't. They get the ball out a good bit. On first and second down, he gets the ball out of his hands quickly. So I think they do a good job of that. So I think they've helped him some, but just the individual player, I think Caleb McGarry's, played really solidly. And he obviously he's a contributor, he's a mauler in the run game, but it's been his pass game that's been questioned. And I think he's done a nice job. Mike could be, the best guy to talk on what McGarry's done from a technique standpoint. I know Dwayne Ledford's worked with him a great deal. It's helped that they've stayed, for the most part, other than the center, they stayed pretty consistent up front. I know Caleb missed one game, but, you harken back to the best team this team's had recently, that 16 team. That was the biggest thing, was that their offensive line stayed consistent throughout. We didn't have to change anybody up. Now, Newsel's done a nice job, and we'll find out if Dahlman steps back in at center. So that's helped him, too. So I think there's been a number of factors that help, but McGarry's he's a more veteran player. He understands what guys are trying to do to him, and you have to learn or you're not around very long.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Bo might be trying to butter me up for something. I'm worried because, bringing up offensive linemen in the middle of the show is usually my thing. I will say, with McGarry...
All right, here we go. Here we go.
With McGarry on the field, I saw this stat earlier, Bijan actually 5.0 yards per carry. And obviously, he did not have much success against the Saints defense front last time. But I think that McGarry being in the fold, because McGarry wasn't part of this game plan last time, can help Bijan in this instance. Last thing I want to finish up with, Arch, the run defense, because I think it's the biggest thing about this matchup. Alvin Kamara is going to get the ball a ton. How can we stop him? I know Eddie Goldman has taken on more of a role in this, you know, run defense. He's seen some more of that kind of 5-2 spacing up front. What do you think about this run defense coming up Sunday, and how can they, you know, hold Kamara in check?
Well, I think they've been better, Mike, as the season's gone along. The numbers would tell you that they're not very good. I think they're giving up 130 plus yards a game, but I think that they've had moments where early on in the year, they were getting gashed and maybe giving up the actual number, where it's been an explosive run here or there that kind of put that number where it was. I think that they've eliminated some of that stuff. I think that, you know, certainly it's a problem. They're still giving up some yardage on first down in the run game, and they're going to get tested in this game. There's no question about that. But I just think that they've adapted to what teams are trying to do to them. I think Jimmy Lake has adapted to when he gets safeties down in the box and when he doesn't. Jesse Bates has done a really good job of coming down and helping out and being that seventh or eighth guy in the box. Evie Cady, to me, his game has grown significantly. You start talking about guys that improved. I think Evie Cady, obviously rushing the passer, and we see him around the quarterback some, and it's shown up more the last couple of weeks. But I think he's been pretty good against the run. And I think Judon's been better against, has been good against the run. That really doesn't get credit for that. So I just think they're playing better as a group. But they're going to get tested, Mike. You know that. They're going to come off the ball and try to match them in the run game, because we just mentioned, you know, what Kamara's done against his team, what, 5.3 yards a touch, and it's better than that in a run game, and Taysom Hill running the rock as well.
Yeah. Dave, we appreciate the insight. Looking forward to hearing you on the call.
Let's go, Arch. Let's go.
Eyes up. Let's go, man. Let's get a win. We've got to take Bo, which is usually is a detriment. We'll have to take him, so you got to cover up your blinders.
You remember the car seat.
Oh, yeah, no, you got to get the booster seater. He can't see over the seats. You know,
y'all gonna stop disrespecting my guy like that. I understand. Y'all gonna stop disrespecting my guy.
Man, I mean, all sides. Dylan, you got something to say? You want to take a shot too, Dylan?
The question for you guys to answer is both feet touching the ground right now in the Cherry City? And they're not.
They absolutely are not, Arch.
Yeah, they are. Look, right now.
Oh, my goodness. We appreciate you joining us.
We got to go. Get him a hang up on him.
You can follow Arch on X at ArcherQB16. When we come back here, we got a Life of Squid, if you can pick up the pieces.
So we got a couple of things. Before we get to Life of Squid, we are going to preview United Miami, and can we take down Messi? Also, I got a text message from someone I haven't heard from in a long time. And the weird thing is the last time I text that person, they didn't know me. Next on the Morning Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey app.
Woo!
That was Mike Conti, Jason Longshore on the call of an Atlanta United win over Inter Miami. And yes, he is right. They are going back to Fort Lauderdale. Their match is tomorrow, and now we have Garrett.
United Insider.
Yeah, Insider, that's what you're Insider. Calling him now?
Yeah, United Insider.
I just do pre and post. I just do my best. That's all
we'll
I can
go with
do.
That.
Tiff, G gave me a stat a minute ago that kind of boggled my mind a little bit. He says the last 10 goals scored by Atlanta United's 9 different players.
Dude, yeah.
How is that even possible? Well, talk me through that.
It's because they don't have a striker. You know, like that's the big. It was a big issue for this team throughout the course of the regular season, but it's turned into, I'd say, almost a strength for this squad. Lots of team goals. Like the Jean De Silva goal, like 3 different guys touched that ball at the top of the box.
Yeah, he was only on the field for like 4 minutes before he scored.
Four minutes?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Four minutes, and then he punches the ball in the back of the net and sends them back down to Fort Lauderdale. They've been tremendous in this series. And I was telling Bo in the break, sometimes great teams just have an issue with that one pesky little squad. You know, this is an MLS record-setting squad. Mm. They scored 74 points in the regular season. There's no denying just how talented they are, but sometimes there's just that team, and we're that team.
Well, other than an assist, I mean, a knock on wood, Dylan, knock on wood, they've been able to keep Messi in check, and I don't know how they can continue to do that. I mean, Two games is one, but three straight games would be a little surprising.
He seemed almost a little passive last time they played, so I'm curious what we get from him tomorrow.
We'll see. I mean, look, Messi's going to do what Messi does, and you can contain him for so long. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets in his bag and does something crazy, but give Pedro Amador his flowers. I mean, Pedro has done an exceptional job. That's the fullback for Atlanta United. He's been probably the most influential acquisition that this team has made this season.
All right.
He has been fantastic.
Give us the when and where tomorrow night that we can hear all Atlanta United coverage here.
Go on. We're going to be downstairs, Star 94, pregame starting off 6 o'clock and then 7 o'clock kick. So,
A4 to 9 doing that. I think I've texted you before. Y'all guys do a great job with that.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. We appreciate you, Garrett.
Let's go.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Falcons rise up.
Yeah. Yeah, a little W sauce, a little New Realm Brewing. Also, Allen Lager. Get over to 929 The Game website. Go to the events page. You can find all of your information for the Browngrass Charity Golf Classic. We have, 25th? So
it's coming up. It's quick.
15.
It's quick.
15 days, something like that.
Yeah.
Sign up today. Do whatever you need to do to support. It's for pets, for vets. Okay, so 2019, what was that, 5 years ago, Tiff?
Sure. Yes.
I text a buddy of mine,
right.
Math. At one point in time, we were pretty close, and I said, hey, you want to play golf tomorrow? I got the response, wrong number.
Wait. Did you already have his number saved?
Yeah.
You had his number saved, and you just texted me and said wrong number.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's a friend?
Sorry?
Yeah. It says wrong number. Okay. I said, oops, sorry. And I got back the MP for no problem. So last contact I've had with this number,
okay,
that's on my cell phone of this person. So I guess I get a text message at some point last night. I was a little bit in and out of sleep. It was a long day. That says, I don't want to give the exact verbiage in case that person actually does listen and they're acting like they don't. But it says, hey, long time. Heard the good news. Congrats. I'm talking about
Baby Squid.
Baby Squidette. Yeah. I'm like,
I'm so confused.
And so I opened the text when I opened the text this morning, I see the text that
you previously sent.
Previously sent where it was like, yeah, wrong number. And I go, well, wait a second. Was it? If not, some rando is texting me, and they know who I am or something.
Yo.
So I ask you two, because one of you is very much like, really all four of y'all, but one of you was very, I think, attacking and petty like me, and one of you is not, just Mike, is not like us, Tiff. And I want to say,
we're not exactly alike, but in some ways we are.
We are. This is the way we're like. Because I want to go in. I'm like, hey, remember that time that I asked you to play golf and you're like, oh, wrong number? It ain't the wrong number. It's the same freaking number. So how do I, do I just act like nothing happened? Because
were they joking when they said wrong number? Some of his friends
doesn't
do that.
Sound like,
no,
why
because,
would they say no problem?
Because they'd have came back. They'd have let me hang. This person, no, I know them. If they were joking, they'd have let me hang for a while and then came back and said, no,
yeah, it's been 5 years.
I can't. But
So weird.
Part of me just thinks, look, we've kind of disconnected over time. They've got a family now.
Didn't want to play golf with you.
But I don't
that
know.
That was the easiest way to say no.
I don't know how to
That's
handle
weird.
This.
I wouldn't respond.
This is incredible.
Yes, or I've already
responded once, and now now it's just. But before I responded again and answered a couple of questions because they asked me if I was still in radio.
Wait, so what did you?
I can't
so
believe you didn't hit him back with the wrong number.
But like, what did the interaction when you responded? What was the interaction? What happened when you wrote him back after he said congrats?
Said,
on
hey,
the,
thanks, man.
Just want to know how life is. Catch up.
Yeah. That's what you said.
No, he said to you.
I hit him back and said, yeah, it has been a long time. Yeah, everything's good. So I just kind of, just responding to what the original text
this
was. And
awesome.
Then the next response was, well, how's life? This is what's up
this
with me.
This is awesome.
Are you still doing, are you still in the radio business, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, whoa, how do you not know, A, that I'm like, the most popular person in Atlanta sports radio, but B.
Gag.
What can you say, though, to kind of poke the bear here, right? Can you say?
I would just ask them. Just there's no poking.
Can you
the bear.
Say?
Just
did you just get a new number?
No, just be
did
direct.
You get a new number?
Just be direct.
Yeah,
that's all
I just. I don't. But I also don't know if they.
Awesome.
they didn't have my number. So they got new. They maybe they got they lost their phone.
Do you know for sure if this person plays golf?
You haven't texted
maybe when you
them.
Said you want to play golf, they're like, I don't play golf.
No,
guys
we
got the
used
wrong number.
We used to hold a golf tournament like between friends
you,
together.
You hadn't God. Messaged them with the corresponded with them in 5 years,
yes.
And then they Anyway,
yes.
We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll find out what's coming up on the Steakhouse. Stay with us.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.